Well, we're glad that you drove in to worship with us this morning. I hope you'll be blessed and refreshed in spirit while you're here. And we have family time first, where we report on those that are in need of prayer and other announcements that we might have. Brad Teeter had his CAT scan, and it revealed no problems. So he's going to continue just on medication. And I want to thank you for praying for good news for Brad and Gail. Charles Hager passed away this week, and there will be no funeral service at this time, perhaps a memorial service later on. But Charles was known and loved by a lot of folks at Little Hickman and all over Jessamine County. Now, Sandy Hammond has joined the ranks of those rehabbing from hip replacement surgery, along with Diane Cundiff and Grace Baker, our Florida friend. So please pray for full recovery for all of them. We still have several people under treatment for various forms of cancer. That would be Bud Jeanette and Robin Rose and Randy Olson and Allison Moss and Kagan Guy. So we want your prayers for them. And the COVID outbreak at Thompson Hood Veterans Home has claimed a number of lives. So we want to continue in prayer for the veterans and their caregivers at Thompson Hood, including our own Tammy View, who works there. And also a COVID outbreak at Sayre Christian Village Nursing Home, which infected Chris and Rhoda Christie. Chris was in the hospital for a while. He's now back at the home and quarantined. Rhoda has returned to her own room in the nursing home. We want you to continue in prayer for Grace Lunsford's health and for Kathleen Baker and Debbie Gardner, who are recovering from strokes, and also Debbie Peel. We haven't mentioned Debbie for a while, but I think she's doing pretty well. And our college students, don't forget them. We want you to pray for their health and their safety and for their faith. Also, I got a request this morning for prayer for Tom and Brenda Hicks, who live in West Virginia. She is Danny Patton's sister, and they both have come down with COVID virus, and we want you to pray for them. And we have several birthdays to report today too. Our own pianist Gail Teeter had a birthday today, and our own Becky Garrett had a birthday yesterday, and Dylan Hawkins, who is Danny and Marcia Patton's grandson, had a 10-year-old birthday this week in West Virginia. So happy birthday to all these folks. We're happy to share that with you.
Certainly, I'd like to ask prayer for the Harris family. John Harris that died, he was nine grand age, and he's been sick for a while, but he was a football coach and principal and teacher.
Don Herod?
John
Herod. Okay, thank you, Gail. Well, let's pray together first. Almighty Father, as we come to worship you now, help us to know that we are in your presence in a holy place, where our hearts are humble before you, but our spirits are anxious to glorify your name and thank you for the multitude of blessings we enjoy from your hand. Hear our prayers and our praise, dear Lord, and strengthen our faith in you and our love for you. We ask all this because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in his name only. Amen. We serve communion every Sunday, and any follower of Christ is welcome to share in this remembrance with us. In a recent comic strip, I don't know how many of you read the comic Zits, which is about a gigantic teenage boy and his parents and his friends. But in a recent strip, there's a conversation between teenager Jeremy and his father. And it went like this. Jeremy said, "Oh, great, we're out of milk." And his dad says, "Well, there's still plenty of skim milk." And Jeremy said, "Oh, okay. In that case, we're just out of milk that tastes like milk." As Dad said, "Welcome to my world." Well, I think we live in a world that's full of unsatisfactory substitutes, especially substitutes for Jesus. Thank goodness we have the real thing. The Apostle Peter wrote, "Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good." At this table, we celebrate the real thing, the final once-for-all sacrifice, when Jesus gave His very life to atone for our sins. So let this loaf and cup again remind us and tell us how He gave His body and His blood to pay for our sins. We're going to sing the first verse of hymn number 123, which is "Break Thou the Bread of Life," as our communion hymn. Jimmy Bowman will lead us in our communion prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful day that You've given us to gather here, hear another portion of Thy Word, sing songs of praise to Your great name, Lord. We ask You to look after our sick, be with the families, lost loved ones, be with the men and women that protect this great country. As we partake of this bread and this cup, which represents Your broken body and Your shed blood on Calvary's cross for our sins. Thank You. Amen.
And now Danny Patton will lead us in our offering prayer.
Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are adapting our song service to COVID conditions and singing only the familiar first verse of each hymn, because most of you don't have hymn books in your cars and to follow all the verses. But let's sing these first verses with great meaning and great spirit. Our first song is number 495. It's Jesus Saves. 495, Jesus Saves. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves, onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. All right, and then number 283, I think that's right, yes, 283. There's power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. All right. And then our prayer hymn is number 426, Yield Not to Temptation. And I do have one more announcement. I just got a message from Grace Lunsford, and she says she forgot to mention, please pray for my younger sister, Lisa Maines, who has serious vision problems. She's diabetic, and just pray for her vision problems, which are pretty serious. Okay. So let's remember that also as we sing hymn number 426 and join in prayer. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, He'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Dear Lord, we honor you for your holiness, and we fear you for your wisdom and power, but we adore you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We want to be your children, made whole and washed clean by the blood of Christ and guided by your Holy Spirit. Our hearts go out to so many today, those affected by COVID-19, those experiencing unemployment or even homelessness, those who are hungry. But even more, we're concerned for those who do not know the Savior, who are not secure in His salvation, perhaps have never heard the word of His gospel. So show us how we can share His redeeming love with all who will hear. We ask you to speak to us this morning, Father, and we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. During the first few years that I served a church in Michigan, we met in an old Lutheran church building, which this congregation had purchased and moved a mile down the road to a parcel of land which they had bought. They had a gravel parking lot, not too large, and sometimes parking was a problem. But you know, after a few years, they built a large shopping mall right next door to the church. So our parking problem was solved. We had all the parking space we would ever need. There's a true story of another church that had a parking problem too, and this is true. Right next door to the church was a restaurant that was closed on Sunday. So they asked the owner of the restaurant if they could use his parking lot for parking on Sunday. He said they could use it for 51 Sundays out of the year. But that one Sunday of the year, it would be chained off and they could not use it. Well, they were happy with the deal, but they were curious as to why he would chain off his parking lot that one Sunday. He explained that he just wanted them to remember that it wasn't their parking lot. Well, today we're going to be talking about sacrifices. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were one of the major focuses of Jewish life. It seems that every day, sacrifices of one kind or another were offered continuously over and over again. Throughout the year, Israelites would offer all kinds of sacrifices, mostly bulls and sheep and goats. But there were also doves and pigeons offered as sacrifice. There were also drink offerings and offerings of grain and corn and flour. Now, I'm not going to go too deep in the woods on this, but I thought this was interesting, and it won't cost you anything extra. There were several different kinds of sacrifices offered throughout the year, but there were five major sacrifices offered on a regular basis. The major sacrifices were burnt offerings and sin offerings and guilt offerings and grain or meal offerings and fellowship or peace offerings, according to the law of Moses. And this last one I mentioned, the fellowship offering, was the only sacrifice that the person who offered it was allowed to eat part of it. All the other sacrifices either were entirely burned up on the altar, or else they were partly burned, and the rest of the meat was given to the priests to eat. But this fellowship offering was the only one where the people who offered it could partake of it. And this fellowship meal was often shared with their family and with their friends, kind of like a potluck dinner or Thanksgiving meal, like I had. I didn't take time to thank the church for my Thanksgiving dinner, but it was provided through the cooking expertise of Sheila Wheeler and came to me in grand style, and it was delicious, and I'm still eating it. And I thank you all for it. What's interesting about all these sacrifices, though, was that each offering cost the person who offered it something. The more wealthy were required to sacrifice part of their flock or their herd. The poor usually didn't have flocks or herds, but they would sacrifice part of the grain they had gathered or birds they had caught. My point is this, that no matter who offered these sacrifices, it cost them something. That's why they were called sacrifices. In addition, every sacrifice had to be the best that they had. No sacrifice was acceptable if it had a blemish or a deformity or a broken leg. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. Now, why did God want them to do all this? To offer this constant stream of sacrifices? Well, it wasn't that God needed the food. In the 50th Psalm, God says, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are all mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" God didn't need their sacrifices to satisfy His hunger, no. So why would He ask them to do this? Well, one of the reasons He asked for sacrifices was the same reason that restaurant owner chained off his parking lot one Sunday a year. The restaurant owner wanted the church to remember that it wasn't their parking lot. They didn't own it. And I believe that's one of the reasons that God asked the Israelites for sacrifices, to remind them they didn't own anything. Even as a nation, they were not their own. All they had and all they were belonged to God. In the 20th chapter of Leviticus, God told the Israelites, "You are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own." The first of the Ten Commandments drives home this idea of you belong to me. The first commandment says, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." In other words, I brought you up out of slavery, I bought you, and you belong to me. And that's very much what God says about us now. Paul wrote to the first Corinthians, and he said once they were baptized into Christ, your body became a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. However, as Christians, we're not required to offer animal sacrifices. That's completely a part of the Old Testament worship system. I did read about a preacher in northern Indiana who received a phone call from a woman who lived in a local trailer park. Said she had something she needed to ask him. So when he arrived, he sat on her couch and she made small talk. And while they were talking, her little dog jumped up in his lap and enjoyed having its ears rubbed. After a little bit, the woman got around to the point. She said, does God still accept animal sacrifices? And the preacher with the dog in his lap smiled and said, you mean like this little dog? And she said, yes. See, he was joking. She was dead serious. It seems her daughter had a life-threatening illness, and this woman was desperate enough to consider sacrificing her pet dog to ask God to heal her daughter. He understood her desperation, but the preacher said they had a long talk about God. Because God doesn't accept animal sacrifices anymore. When Jesus died on the cross, the Old Testament sacrifices were no longer needed. Because Hebrews tells us, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, what did he say? He said, it is finished. That whole Old Testament system was finished because it was just pointing forward to the ultimate sacrifice Jesus would make. But does that mean we no longer need to offer sacrifices to God? Well, no. We just don't need to offer animal sacrifices anymore. Because the New Testament talks a lot about sacrifice that God asks from us. For example, in Hebrews chapter 13, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Don't neglect to do good and to share what you have, because that's a sacrifice to God when you do that. There's an old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And as Christians, we should be known as a people who care, who do good, who share what we have. When a person is sad, listen to them, pray for them. When a person is lonely, go visit them or call them. When a person needs a ride, get your car out and take them. That type of thing can happen a lot. And when you do that, you're offering sacrifices to God. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your good deeds are sacrifices pleasing to God. In Hebrews 13 also, we're told, through Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Do you ever stop to think that when you come to church and sit here and sing songs of praise to God, You're offering a sacrifice. You're saying, Lord, these words mean what I feel, and I'm offering them to you. Every time you talk about Jesus, every time you praise God, God regards that as a sacrifice. The year the Dodgers won the World Series in baseball was last year, I think, wasn't it? They won recently. But they hadn't done that for a long time. Back in 1988, they had a pitcher named Oral Hershiser who led the Dodgers to win the series. And he was asked to appear as a special guest on the Johnny Carson show. In the course of the interview, Carson asked Hershiser what he did to calm his nerves between innings. And the pitcher said, I sing songs. So Carson asked him to sing one of the songs that he found so helpful. And the song Oral Hershiser chose to sing that night had such a deep impact on Johnny Carson that he chose that segment of the show to include in his anniversary special. What was the song? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures great here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The song he chose to sing on Johnny Carson's show was a song giving praise to God. He sang a sacrifice of praise to God, and it made a deep impression on Johnny Carson, I'm told. But that's not the only sacrifice God asks from us. There's one more, at least. And this last sacrifice, well, what you say or do wouldn't have much meaning if you didn't offer this sacrifice. It's the most important of all. Romans 12, verse 1 tells us we should present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is about more than just what we say or do. This is when we offer us, everything we are and everything we have to Jesus. Being a living sacrifice is when we're totally sold out to Jesus. Now, that means that means your bank account, your clothes, your cell phone, your IRA, your home, your car, your family, everything is offered to the Lord, all on the altar. You remember that woman in the trailer park with the little dog? She was more than willing to offer up her favorite dog to get God to answer her prayers. But she never went to church. And Jesus was not important to her. She really didn't want to do anything for God. She never thought about praising God. He just wasn't that important to her. Granted, she was willing to sacrifice her pet dog to get God to answer prayer, but she had no intention of offering herself as a living sacrifice to God. And why should she? Why should she surrender her life to God? Well, she wouldn't want to unless she realized how much God loved her. God gave His only Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You've heard that. God sacrificed His only Son so that she could have everlasting life, but until she understood that, God would not be important to her. And that should be our message, so people would understand why they should want to belong to Christ. But here's the thing. Until we understand how much God sacrificed for us, we're not really going to want to place our lives on the altar of sacrifice. We won't truly be able to be a living sacrifice. There's an old hymn that tells the reason why we should want to do that. I bet you could sing it. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. It's number 451. It's one that will be familiar to you, I think. All to Jesus I surrender. We're just using the first verse of the song. But if there's a need in your heart for the Lord today, we'd invite you to step in and make it known. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Stay, will ever love and trust Him, in His presence fully live. I surrender all, I surrender. Blessed Savior, I surrender all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that You, the God of peace, who raised Christ from the dead, strengthen our inner beings for every good work. We ask that You will guide our steps, guide our words, and guide our thoughts in that high and holy way that is righteousness, wherever we go and whatever we do this week. For we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.